Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I'll review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I will be reviewing 1996's The Craft. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Watch This As an Adult. You are still smack dab in the middle of Horror Month, and today we are going to be talking about 1996's The Craft. But always, before we start talking about the movie, we want to talk about things we saw this week. So pretty much we were pretty much just catching up on Lovecraft Country. Like, we didn't really watch anything new this week, just watching, just pretty much catching up on Lovecraft Country, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so just caught up through episodes, what, 7 through 9?
I think we finished. Yeah, we finished the whole season, right?
That was actually the season finale last night.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, the season finale last night. We haven't seen.
So it was episode 8 and 9.
We did 7, 8, and 9.
Right.
We did 7, 8, and 9.
Wow, that was two.
Yeah, no, because we stopped at episode 6 and we gave it a week. We cooled off on it for a minute, and then mm-hmm. we started watching The Boys mm-hmm. for a while. Now we're kind of cooled off, and now we gotta get back on that. And I wish The Boys was only 30 minutes.
Why?
Because, like, it's kind of a task to get through an hour. Mm. I wish that show was only 30 minutes. I feel like that show has, like, a lot of fat that can be cut. Mm. You know, there's a lot of fat in that show that can be cut. You could tell the story in 30 minutes. But we're not talking about The Boys right now. We're talking about Lovecraft Country. So, but yeah, the season finale last night, we gotta watch that. Because... We gotta watch the season finale.
I actually thought episode 9 was the season finale.
I did too, because they were talking about like season 2s and stuff, and then I was like, oh, the season finale was last night. I just saw, I think I was looking on YouTube or something like that.
I'm glad, because I was like, please don't tell me it ended like that.
I know, because the way it ended,
it was the way, like, yeah, no, man.
Because the way episode 9 ended, it was like, that's it?
Yeah.
Wait, but like there's another episode, so we gotta watch that. But we can still talk about what we thought about the whole show as a whole so far. Just talk about favorite episodes and things like that, and what we thought about it. You know, but I kind of want to start with favorite episodes, because that's where my head is right now. I want to start with favorite episodes. I'm gonna pass it to you. What are your favorite episodes?
I think I'm trying, if I can't remember, is it 7 where what's her name? Hippolyta.
Oh yeah, Hippolyta, yeah.
Yeah, Hippolyta went through the multi-universe and stuff like that. I think that was the best one for me.
The best one?
Yes.
We think like, cause I really like that episode too.
Right.
That's my favorite episode, and I like episode 3 when Letty buys the house and it's haunted.
Oh yeah. I like that one too as well. That was really good.
That's my favorite episode, because you know my favorite line.
What was it?
You know my favorite line in episode 3.
Oh yeah, get out of my
house. Get out of my house, bitch! Get the fuck out of my house, bitch! You know, that's my favorite. I like that episode. That's my favorite episode.
I actually find that cool how they like wrote a Bobo in there, which is Emmett Till.
Oh yeah, Emmett Till, Bobo.
Yeah, he was in the house with them, and they were playing with the Ouija board before he went to
Because Emmett Till's in episode 3.
Yeah, Emmett Till's in episode 3. I thought that was pretty dope.
That's right. And then they kind of expand on him a little bit more.
To let you know who that really was, because that was Emmett Till's nickname.
Don't they expand on him in episode 7 a little bit, I believe?
Well, the fact that he was missing, I believe.
Yeah, when it was like, because like, they were like, because it was Hippolyta's daughter, Diana. Mm-hmm. and her friends, they were just like, when's Bobo coming home?
Right, when is Bobo coming home?
Yeah, and then the next episode, episode 8, when they found out that he was murdered.
Right.
You know, so
you find out it was Emmett Till. I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, how that's like great storytelling.
Yeah.
You know.
I was like, the way they weave, because they do that a lot. They weave a lot of like
historical figures
into the show so smoothly.
I know. You know,
so smoothly.
Yeah, well, like they were everyday people, because they were everyday people.
Everyday people, just right. Like the episode 7 with Bessie Stringfield.
Right.
You know, they wove her.
I know. I was like, that's Betsy. I already knew who she was when she popped up. Like, that was pretty dope. You know?
There was a couple of other people I can't think of right now that they wove them in. It was like, oh, okay.
Did you check out the actress who played Betsy? Did she look spot on?
She looked spot on.
It was kind of creepy.
It was.
It was like, oh my God. And that's how I clearly knew that was her.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
She looks just like the real Betsy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I was like, they know how to weave just historical characters in. Like, even though it was kind of weird, the first episode with Jackie Robinson.
Right.
Jackie Robinson fighting, like, Cthulhu.
Look, it was crazy because when I saw him with the bat and he was, like, beating up on aliens.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, they're throwing me off for a little bit. I thought I was going to have to, like, drop out, like, real quick. And then I was like, okay, when he woke up, I was like, oh, thank God, was this a dream? Because I was like, I don't know if I go through this and stuff like this keep on popping up.
Yeah.
But it was a dream, thank God.
But yeah, man, I was like, just the show. I was like, if you can't handle episode 1, you ain't gonna be able to handle the rest of these episodes, because they just keep getting weirder and weirder and weirder.
But it makes sense. Yeah. It was just that part alone didn't make sense at all. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then when he woke up from his dream, that's how I was like, okay, it was just a dream. Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I was like, if it was gonna be more of this throughout the whole, you know, season. I don't know if I'd be able to enjoy it, but I'm glad.
Right.
So.
But, I was kind of hoping for more of that.
You were?
I was like,
oh, like, how are you going to, like, how are you going to understand all that? I don't know.
I was just like, oh, shit, this nigga fighting aliens? Oh, I'm in.
All right.
I'm in.
So you would have followed through that, okay.
I would follow through. But, like I said, like, episode 3 and episode 7 are my favorites. The weakest episode 9's not bad either.
The last one,
yeah, the one where they go back, they time travel to 1921 for Black Wall Street.
Yeah, Black Wall Street.
Episode 9's not, that episode's not bad either. It's a bit tense.
It is. It's extremely tense.
It's extremely tense. Yes, but I kind of like that episode too. It's on the lower tier to me though. The rest of them, the weakest episode to me.
That was funny, because I actually mentioned that, too. I was like, since they're over here, you know, doing this historical events and stuff like that, I was like, I wonder if they're going to talk about Black Wall Street. And you were saying, I don't think they can, because it's all about in Chicago. And I was like, I was like, you're right. And then that's what they did.
That was crazy.
That was the next episode. We were just talking about that. I was like, well, why not? That they're able to go to the South. They're able to talk about how Emmett Till got killed from Chicago. Why not talk about Black Wall Street being destroyed? It was around that time, you know, around that time. Why not speak about that? And they did. That was the next episode.
Yeah, so. Well, like, they had the time travel back in time,
right,
to talk about it, though.
To talk about
it. They're set in 1955.
Yeah, but it's not. It's like 20 years. Was it 20 years later?
I think it's like 30 years.
30 years later. It's still not that far back, though. It's still in the Reconstruction era, Jim Crow era at that time, so. I'm glad they did, though. I was like, why not? Let it all hang out if we're talking about this
Let
it all hang out, so.
Yeah, but that was something else I wanted to say that I already forgot. Shoot. Let's go to weakest episodes.
Okay.
The weakest episode I thought was episode 6.
Episode 6
was when they were talking about Tick being in the military and he met the Korean girl. What's her name?
I actually liked it. Yeah, I like that.
You like that episode?
Yeah, I like that
episode. I thought that episode was the weakest.
I like all of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't like that episode. I thought the episode was the weakest. And I kind of thought episode 8 was kind of weak. Where,
The Jigabobo?
Yeah, the Jigabobo, yeah.
I actually thought that was the creepiest one, to be honest with you. It was the creepiest one of them all.
Jigabobo is when Tick finds out that his dad's gay, right?
Jigabobo, if I remember, is about the two. Okay, the little girl got a spell casted onto her,
yeah,
by the cop who practiced magic.
Yes,
which I actually kind of find that interesting, because it kind of make you think, like, is, you know, like they kind of dig deep into, you know, like the FBI and the police station and stuff like that. And right, a lot of people's already saying that, you know, that the police academy is like an affiliation of some type of Illuminati or Freemasonry and shit like that. So, you know, why mm-hmm. not, right?
Right.
But yeah, he put a curse on the little girl, and those little two little girls were chasing after her. They had right. long nails.
Yeah.
They looked just like one of those figures from the, what do you call it, the minstrel show.
Like minstrel shows.
Minstrel
yeah.
shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, but man, they had moves though. It was busting the moves though.
They were
pop locking it.
I was like, wow.
Yo, remember we was watching that episode? I was like, damn, they get me.
I was like, one of the girls was doing the hyphy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Did I say that? Like the Oaklanders, yeah, like from hyphy. One was doing the crump, you yeah. know, they were doing all kind of ranges of dancing, from jazz, yeah, tap dancing,
right,
pop locking, you know, I think I saw a little dab in there, you know. It was I find it amazing how yeah. they channel from the oldest dance moves all the way down to the newest ones. I noticed right. that as well.
Yeah, but yeah, it was. I think that was the same episode though,
right,
where like Tick found out that his dad was gay. I think that was at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
where like he saw his dad's lover come out. Because it was just like, you're like, you got another man coming out your room. You got another man coming out your house.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows that man is gay.
Right.
And your shirt off.
Right.
What you think is going on? You right. know what I mean? But yeah. But yeah, man, it was like, oh no, this is what I wanted to say. Back to episode 7, I was watching this morning, I was watching somebody like do a review of episode 7, and they were kind of talking about like time, like there was kind of like some plot holes in time with mm. that episode, mm-hmm. where not with like Hippolyta going back and like going through the multiverses and stuff.
Okay.
It was about because at the beginning of that episode, Tick and Letty are trying to use the car, right? Because they wanted to go to St. Louis to go and talk to I think it's some of Tick's like relatives or something like that, some family, so like he can find out about what's going on with this book and all this shit. And they were talking about how, because Tick went to St. Louis and Hippolyta went to Mayfield, Kansas to go fuck with the what they call the orrery, the thing that sent her through the multiverse and stuff.
Right.
And they were talking about he was in St. Louis, she was in Mayfield, Kansas, and they were talking about how fast, because when the cops come to try to like kill Hippolyta mm-hmm. and take the orrery from her, Tick showed up really quickly, like too right. quick.
From he was Kansas from St. Louis. St. Louis to Kansas.
Yeah, that was like, did he teleport there? Cause
you know what, he did say that he went through the multiverse too, and that's how he found out his.
Yeah, but
son
like
was
he didn't
there.
Do that at that time.
But do you think maybe somewhere, somehow, that him teleporting could have made it?
Because like she turned on the machine.
Right.
She was the one that turned on the machine.
But he wasn't there yet. So that might be a plot hole.
That's a plot hole. Because it was like, how'd he get there so fast? Did you like run from St. Louis to to Kansas.
St. Louis to Kansas. I'm trying to figure out how far that is to be exact.
Because they explained that, like, from St. Louis to Chicago, from Chicago to St. Louis is a 3-hour drive.
Right.
And he got there on the bus.
So it should be longer.
I think it should be, I think Kansas is a little bit more away mm-hmm. from Missouri. Mm-hmm. So it was like, how did he get there so fast?
That's something to think about.
It was like, think
or
about
maybe,
that.
Or maybe, I'm trying to think, like, I'm really trying to make sense of this, but yeah. I really can't. I'm like, I'm trying to save this part, but yeah. Like,
you can't explain it.
I mean, like, you know how they always have, like, this editing mm-hmm. where they forget to tell you that it really took a long time. We're pretty much going by our time. We're not going by the movie's time. You know what I mean?
It's TV time.
Yeah, it's TV time.
TV time.
Yeah.
So he got there on TV time.
Right.
So, yeah. But anyway, yeah. Overall, I can't wait for season 2.
Me neither.
Already, but it was like, but overall, I like.
It's going to be a long wait. Now we're waiting for season 2.
Yeah, it's probably.
And we have to hope it doesn't get. We have to hope it doesn't get canceled. Or are we talking about
They already it? Renewed it.
Okay, cool, good.
Yeah, they already renewed it, so it's fine.
So that's the first step.
Yeah, that's
now,
the first step.
Now, the second step is waiting.
Just waiting, yeah. Because this came out, like, what, September?
Right.
So, probably gonna wait till next September. We'll
I mean,
see.
I guess we can keep on watching it until it comes up. Because yeah. I wouldn't mind watching it again. You know what I mean?
Like it's a really good show.
Yeah.
Other than that one episode that I don't like. But, you know, but it's a really good show.
Right.
But, I know, don't get me wrong, I know that episode is essential.
Right.
I just don't like it. Right. You know, like, personally.
Yeah, because I was like, I think that's the most important part
yeah.
of the whole season. You get to see his dark side, what he had to do. It mm-hmm. might be some connection there.
Yeah.
Which it is, because the succubus.
Yeah, I think they call it, I think she's like the Nine Tails or something.
Right, and yeah. she leaves Korea to go see him, to yeah. tell him that he's going to die.
Right.
You know, and then you have the finale, which... we don't know yet.
Yeah, we gotta watch that.
My question is, he gonna die in this finale or the next?
Don't know. We don't know, cause he went back. Cause I think he even went back in time and saw himself die or something. I can't remember, but I think when he jumped through the portal, mm-hmm. cause like he went to the future, mm-hmm. and that's when he came back with the book, and the book was written by his future son
right.
and all this stuff. So right. he was just, yeah, but yeah, man. I like the show. I love this fucking show. It's great.
We were actually talking about that too. We were like, what happened to somebody like Hitler's father went back in time and he saw what his son could do when he tried to tell his wife to get a, you know, what you call a Swiss...
get a Swiss Morsion.
Get a Swiss Morsion.
Yeah. Go to the Swiss Morsion clinic and get a Swiss Morsion.
He's all like, look, we're trying to save the world at this point. You have to get rid of this baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I was like, I think it's a pretty solid fucking show, man. I like this season. Hopefully they don't get too crazy to where it's like, I'm done in season 2.
You know, I know.
You know,
that's something we always have to count on too. Is the season going to be better than the last one?
Yeah,
or that's... just equivalent, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you know, really good as the first one.
Because there's a lot of shows, they start off good and then they just start to just falter down. They just
right.
start to just... ugh. You know?
right.
But yeah, man, that's...
I'm kind of hoping it keeps the momentum as Walking Dead.
Walking Dead was good for like, 5 seasons.
But that's good enough, though.
That is good enough.
It's good
yeah.
enough, you know.
Yeah, they're finally canceling it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They're finally getting rid of it, doing. Yeah, we're done.
It's done. It's,
yeah.
Like, so, we're done. So,
we're
you
done.
Guys have to catch up.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's when we thought of Lovecraft Country. We like it. So.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, we'll be back with the craft.
I'm even thinking about reading the book, you know what I mean? So...
yeah, we'll be back with the craft review. Talk to you guys later. This episode is presented by Wild CBD. Wild produces the best tasting edibles on the market, using real fruit and all natural flavoring. With flavors inspired by the Pacific Northwest, high quality ingredients, real fruit, and consistent dosing, Wild has become one of the leading cannabis edible producers in the country. Wild's new CBD line currently offers fruit-infused gummies in blackberry, huckleberry, lemon, and raspberry, and CBD-infused sparkling water in raspberry, lemon, blackberry, and blood orange. Each gummy is dosed with 25 milligrams of CBD and can be purchased in a bottle of 10 or 20. Wild CBD is offering our listeners 30% off their next purchase from wildcbd.com by using the code POD. That is the code POD for 30% off your next purchase. All right, guys, we're back. 1996's The Craft. We're gonna talk about this movie and what we thought about the movie. And first off, what we like to do is talk about how we saw the movie. This is my movie, so I get to say. So I picked this one because we had an argument about it last week on the Relic review. Because you're like, you didn't want to watch The Craft, and
I watched it so many times.
I wanted to watch The Craft, so it was, go listen to the Relic review, you'll hear that. But but anyway, I saw this movie on VHS. My dad actually got the VHS for me.
Same thing for me too.
The tape. And I remember watching this movie for like a month straight.
Wow.
Yes, I watched The Craft for a month straight. I watched it so much that my mom was afraid that I was becoming a devil worshiper.
What?
Yeah, she was afraid that I was becoming a devil worshiper, and she took the tape from me. Mm. And what she didn't know, I didn't give a shit about the devil. I was watching this movie because I was 12 and horny, and I wanted to see more of Rachel True. Yeah. So, I thought she was sexy as shit. So,
like same thing for me. I wanted to be her. Like that was my first time discovering Rachel True, and I was like, oh my god, who is she? She is so beautiful. She's like so naturally breathtakingly beautiful. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like she's kind of like my muse, low key. You know, like low key. Like I'm always trying to have my curly hair and stuff, and you know, this effortless but sexy look. You know, stuff like that. So I always low key wanted. Every time I ask, I'd be like, "Does my hair look like true?" Even to right now today. So
I think you just told. I think you asked me that like yesterday or some shit.
Does my hair kind of look like true? You know. So she's like, "No, babe." I was like, "Okay, forget it."
Like you got different type of curls, baby. You got different type of curls, but I love you just the same.
Thank you.
But if she would have just looked at it, she's like, oh, he don't care about the devil, he was looking at titties. But if she would have just looked at it like that, I was like, because like, no disrespect to the other girls, because like I think like Neve Campbell's not bad looking, right? You know, and the other girls got pretty eyes, you know. The main chick that plays Nancy,
right.
But the least attractive one was the main one to me.
I think it was that hideous wig. It was a wig, and I was like,
oh, I was about to get into that. I was about to talk about the wig. I was about to talk about that shit.
That lace front was atrocious.
The lead actress, Robin Tunney, she actually shaved her head for another movie.
That's why. I remember now. She did shave her head at that time. Yeah. So she had to.
So, like, when she shot this movie, she had to wear a wig.
That's why.
So that's why she had the wig on.
Mm-hmm.
So, because she shaved her head for another film, and like her hair didn't grow back in time.
Well,
so
they didn't pick a good wig, man.
I'm gonna get more into that wig later.
Okay.
I'm gonna deep dive into that wig later. So. But yeah, man. She was like, my mom. I was like, if you would have just he's looking at girls. You know, I was like, I got no interest in being, I got no interest in the devil, you know. But anyway, yeah, fun fact, let's get into some fun facts about this movie. This movie was directed by Andrew Fleming, who went on to do pretty much nothing after this.
He don't have to, man.
Yeah, he,
it's a craft.
He didn't do... He didn't do much for this after this.
He's still eating off that Kraft movie.
Eating Kraft macaroni and cheese. That's what he,
oh, what? That's what he got a bake rod with?
I don't know what got, but I was just, but anyway, they were talking about casting. Casting the four girls for this movie was kind of a task.
What?
They actually saw 85 actresses. To cast the four girls. 85, that's like half of Hollywood, I want to say, auditioned for this movie. The first two casts for this movie were Rachel True as Rochelle, and she has a weird name. She has a crazy name, this girl, Feruza Balk. I think I'm saying it right. Feruza Balk, who was cast as Nancy. They were cast first. Two other people that were rumored to be cast that were like, I think almost got the roles of Bonnie and Sarah were Angelina Jolie and Alicia Silverstone.
So who's going to play Nancy and who's going to play...
That, I deep dive into that and I don't know.
Oh, man.
They just said that they were almost cast as the other two girls.
Do you think that Angelina Jolie was going to play Nancy? I can see it.
But they already cast Nancy.
They already cast Nancy, so would it be...
She was either going to be Bonnie or Sarah.
Bonnie or Sarah.
Yeah, she's going to be one of those two. So.
I could probably see her as, you know, Sarah.
Sarah?
No, Bonnie. I can see her more as a Bonnie. Yeah, scars in her back.
Yeah, I can see her more as a Bonnie.
I can see her more as a Bonnie.
But yeah, but anyway, like Robert, I keep calling her Robert. Why did I see her Robert? Robin. Robin Tunney was cast. Excuse my wife, she has allergies. Robin Tunney was first cast as Bonnie. She got the role of Bonnie first. But then they switched them around because the producers thought she would make a better fit for Sarah. And then they cast Neve Campbell as Bonnie.
That sucks. Just the runaround.
Yeah.
That has been very tough for her.
We already talked about the whole...
Okay, we're here. Okay. No, we don't need you no more. What?
Be like that scene in Moneyball. I was watching Moneyball yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And he told that dude was excited. He was like, am I getting traded? He was like, no. And he was like, damn. He was like, We already talked about Robin Tunney. She shaved her head for his movie called Empire Records, which I've never seen.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people talk about it, but I've never seen the movie. It looks like something I would like, but I've never gotten around to see it. But yeah, she had to wear a wig. They had a real life Wiccan on the set to be an advisor for the movie so they could have some authentic, so the movie could be a little bit more authentic. Mm-hmm. Even like the incantations and the spells were real incantations and spells.
Yes.
You know, so we're gonna get into the movie. I'm gonna shoot it over to you, Shauna, and see what you thought about this movie.
Okay, well, as a child, or, you know, because you were like 11 years old at the time, right?
Yeah, I think I was about like 11.
When I first saw Rachel True, I fell in love, wanted to be with her ever since.
You wanted to be with her?
No, wanted to be like her. Did I say you wanted to be with her?
You wanted to be with her.
Time to come out, guys. Coming out.
Coming out the closet. But anyway.
I wanted to be like her.
Yeah.
Okay. but this is the thing here. This is the crazy thing about it. Even though I love Rachel True, you know, her character, for some reason, it got her character, Rochelle Zimmerman, she got on my nerves because I was like, stop being a punk ass bitch. Just beat the shit out this girl. You know?
Oh, yeah, because like, she was getting bullied.
Yeah, even as a child, I was all like, that could be handled. Just punch that bra in the face, she'll leave you alone, right?
Right.
But she just continued to let this girl bother her, and she wasn't really like beating her up or anything. She was just saying nasty things to her. She was heckling her every time she, you know, take a dive or, you know, messing up her game, saying nasty racial slurs about her behind her back, like not in her face, but really behind her back.
She did call her a nigger to her face.
Okay.
So,
when she didn't call her a nigger, she said, because she confronted her, she was talking shit behind her back,
right?
And she went to her, she said, "What's the problem? Why are you talking shit about me?" And she's like, "Well, because I don't like Negroes." That was the time for you to stump a muho in that bitch, you know, and then beat up her friend. Like, you didn't need a spell to make her bald. You could have just snatched her fucking head off her head. Yeah. Bam.
Snatched,
you know,
that bitch bald.
Yeah, right?
Right.
But her character really got on my nerves. Even as a see this part, I still haven't changed. You know, I feel like she didn't really need a spell to handle her issues with, which is Laura, the bully Laura, right?
Yeah.
Then, as a child, I did felt like really, like I had like a weird, it was oddly, I was more related to, you know, Neve Campbell's character, Bonnie.
Uh-huh.
Because at that time I was having, I was hitting puberty and I was having what you say, body issues. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, you know, body shaming, body issues. Because I got like well developed at a young age. Mm-hmm. And people assumed that I was gaining weight, but really I was just becoming a woman. You know what I mean?
You were just stacked.
I was just stacked for a young age. So for oddly, you know, I felt like really connected to her. And then with Sarah, I mean, I believe any girl could relate to Sarah because we all fall in love with the asshole of the school and we expect for him to feel us and love us, but really he's just a jerk and we can have better. So of course I felt like Ollie connected to her. And with Nancy Downs, I just had sympathy for the girl. I really felt sorry for her. There was no connection to her. I didn't relate to her. I just felt sorry for her, because you remember she came home and it was raided.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was raided through her trailer home.
Trailer, yeah, because she lived
she
in the trailer.
And she had to sleep in her bed while raid was in her face, like, fought in her face. I was like, holy shit. Her dad, her stepdad just was abusive, and he was like low-key molesting her. You remember he was looking under
her robe and shit
like that. That shit was just nasty, whatever. So I was so happy that, you know, her miracle was needed more than anybody. She needed that spell more than anybody.
I was kind of thinking that too. I was like, if anybody needed the miracle, it's Nancy.
It was gonna be Nancy
because she had a fucked up living situation.
And Bonnie.
Yeah.
No, Bonnie.
Because, I did feel for Bonnie.
Because she went through a procedure that they didn't know that was going to work.
Right.
So it could have came out terrible. Like,
yeah.
It could have made it worse. It could have killed her, anything. Mm-hmm. And she just like made it through.
Yeah.
But however, I feel like Sarah and Rochelle didn't really need a spell for their situation. They just didn't really need it.
I was kind of thinking that too. I was just kind of thinking, I think I got my notes. I was just saying like their problems were petty.
Yeah, their problems were petty.
You know,
they can solve their own problems.
Yeah,
they can really spell for it or a miracle for that, you know?
Yeah, it was like, just don't fuck with that dude and beat that bitch ass.
Right,
you know,
that's all you had to do.
That's all they had to do. I was like, Nancy had a terrible living situation and Bonnie had these fucking terrible scars.
Right.
That, like, didn't make her feel good, you know?
Right.
Like, so, like they actually had issues, you know?
Right. So as a child looking at it versus adult, it's still the same and haven't changed, you know? But there are some extra things that I have noticed. So I'll let you go.
Okay. Yeah. The one thing I have to say about this movie, I like that the four girls had chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, like you could really believe that they were friends. You could really believe that they hung out with each other and all of this stuff. And I love, because like it's kind of like a story point, because I love how they build that friendship factor towards the end where it just like flips over and they just turn on Sarah, you know. Right. So it's kind of like it's like oh yeah, they're friends, and then everything goes to shit, and then they just start fucking turn on and try to fucking murder her, you know. So right. Pretty much, but you know,
she was a new friend, you know. They only needed her for the fourth quarter, like the fourth cornerstone.
Yeah, she
was. That's all they really needed her for. Yeah, care less about her at this point.
I was like, it was obvious they were using Sarah.
Yeah.
Very obvious they were using Sarah, but then, like, you get sucked into the movie so much.
Right.
That you're like, oh, man, they're friends, you know? But you're like, man, they're fucking using this bitch, you know? Right. Like, they using the fuck out of her. Right. And, like, that's all they wanted her for. Because even, Neve Campbell's character, Bonnie, she's like, oh, she could be the fourth. Oh, yeah, you know, like.
Yeah, we saw her do some weird shit. She's like, you know, making a pencil stand on his own, you know. She's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
This is it.
And it's like, they using this girl. It was like, they obviously fucking using her. But, honestly, I'm like, I would use her, too, because she is so fucking boring. She is boring. She has no personality. None whatsoever. I'm like, the other three girls are a lot more interesting than her.
Yeah.
A lot more interesting than her.
With charisma, yeah.
They have charisma. They got personality, you know, like, you actually care what's going on with them.
Right.
You're like, even her storyline, they're like, I didn't give a shit. Right. You know, even when dude got on top of her and tried to rape her, I didn't give a shit.
Damn.
I was just like, yeah, I really don't care. Right. You know, I don't give a shit.
It's kind of sad. I kind of felt like the movie purposely made us not care about her situation. Mm-hmm. The fact that how her issues were that petty. Mm-hmm. You know, like, she wanted the guy so much. She wanted the guy to be all over her.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but a guy that lied about having sex with her.
Right.
Also, why would you want that guy?
Right. I think she wanted to pay him back and to make him look like the chump, you know what I mean? Mm. So to have him do all things for her, like carrying her books, you know, be a simp for her, just make him look low because of what he did to her.
Cause
I think it was more like clearing her name.
I don't think so.
Or to get him back.
I don't think so.
What do you think it was?
Because even when, like, they're doing, like, when they're doing, like, the drinking out of the chalice and stuff like that, and they're talking about what they want, she is talking about making this dude love her.
Wow. Do you think she just threw it out the park, though? Like, okay, well, just maybe he could just love me, you know, just to hang out. I don't know.
No, she...
You think she was serious?
She was serious.
Or you think she was careless?
She was serious.
Because the reason why I say that, because she got irritated with him.
Yeah, she got irritated with him after a while.
Okay.
After a while, she got irritated with him. But she was serious.
So she was serious as long as he was an asshole to her. Mm-hmm. But when she finally got what she wanted from him, it was like, okay, you're done.
You're done. I don't want you. Yeah.
Like, you're thirsty.
Yeah, and then...
But it was the spell, so...
Yeah, and then she's fucking shocked when he tries to fucking rape her. So... It was like, you know, like,
that is crazy.
You know, come on, you know, like, that was the payback.
Yeah, that is, you know, each and every one of them did have their payback.
Have the payback, yeah. That was her payback. This dude, she got this dude to, like, fall in love with her, and this love spell and shit. Did at the end, she didn't want him, and then, like, he tried to rape her.
Right.
That was the, and then he ended up, and then Nancy killed him, but because he tried to rape her, but you know, but
do you think that Nancy went to her for herself, or you think she would? Did you think she used Nancy's excuse to, you know, to go for herself, or do you think she really tried to help Nancy?
I think Nancy did it for Sarah. I think she did both. It was a little bit of both.
I think it was for her.
You think it was just an excuse?
Yeah, I think she low key had like you say, a one sided love for this guy, whatever. And he like I said, he smashed and dashed her, told the whole school about it.
But he didn't.
Okay,
he lied about it.
He lied about it too.
Yeah.
Okay, so he lied about it too. Okay. Yeah. Then I guess she was like, well, I'm going to take this opportunity to have sex with him and be with him. So she tried to, and then he didn't like her, and then she wound up turning herself into Sarah so she can get what she wants.
Oh, we're talking about Nancy, my bad.
Did I say Sarah or Nancy?
I think you said, I thought you were talking about Sarah.
Well, I'm talking about when Sarah ran and she told everybody that he tried to rape her. Mm-hmm. Nancy's like, I'm going to go over there. And she's like, no, let that nigga live. And she's like, no, I'm going over there.
Yeah, well, in that case, he did have sex with Nancy.
Yeah, so Nancy went over there and it looked like she was going to handle business for Sarah, but she really went in for herself.
Okay.
Because she had feelings for this dude.
Right.
So she tried to make this the opportunity to, you know, have a moment with him, and even with him being drunk, he still didn't want to hit that shit.
Right.
So she got like really upset, and she's like, oh, well, maybe I could just use my magic and turn myself into Sarah and I can get some D afterwards, which it worked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he only wants Sarah through the spell. To be honest with you, Chris don't want no fucking body. He don't want none of the bitches. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, you didn't give me something right away. I'm just going to lie about it. And move the fuck on. Yeah. You know, but either than that, he didn't want any of those bras.
He really didn't. You.
So, but it was the spell, and she used the spell to get her some.
Right.
And then Sarah walks in the door and she's all like, look, come on, let's just go. Let's just get out of here.
Right.
And he's all like, holy shit, you are witches and stuff like that. He's right. All like, oh, you're just jealous because I want Sarah and I don't want you, bitch. And she's like, gotta go.
Yeah.
She's like, kick out the fucking window. Go straight to hell. Yeah. That was it.
But bust your head on the sidewalk. Like you're a fucking watermelon.
Right.
But yeah, man. I just think that who was I talking about? Rochelle and Sarah's fucking shit was vain. It was some vain ass shit, you know. But yeah, man, I want to talk about these special effects. Some of these special effects. This is where I'm gonna deep dive into that wig. I'm gonna deep dive into that goddamn wig. The special effects on that goddamn wig when, like, she turned her hair.
Mm-hmm.
When she turned from what? Like when she's like a strawberry blonde or redhead or what the fuck is she?
I guess a brunette and she turned the wig.
And she turned it blonde?
To the blonde.
Yeah, Sarah turned it blonde.
Well, that's easy. They just, like, I forgot, like, how...
They just turned up the contrast?
Yeah, they turned up the contrast
of
her hair, and it just made it blonde, just like that.
And look,
you can really see it.
Yeah.
You can really see it, how trash it looks now.
It looks terrible
back in the day,
now.
He was like, whoa! He was like,
oh!
How they do that?
Yeah.
But now it's like, we already know that.
Yeah, that shit did not age well. The light as a feather, stiff as a board, kind of, you know, it's...
No, you can see it.
You can see it.
You can fucking see it. It's, what they did, they put like a green cover over the stool.
Oh yeah.
They put a green cover over the stool. You put beautiful Rachel True on top of it.
Yes.
And then they just put their fingers under it and they kinda like, you know, blend in underneath as if she's floating under it. That was very easy and it looked, you could see it, it looked trash now.
Yeah, and then you were talking about, you could see the string when Sarah was doing the pencil.
Yeah, you can see the string, whatever, and somehow they were able to like blend that shit in, mm-hmm. whatever. It was horrible, but you could see it. She was doing it with a string.
She was
holding it in with the string. You could see that shit.
Well, yeah, these special effects didn't hold up very well.
They didn't hold up at all.
But, felt like I was watching, like, Spawn special effects. But, But anyway, the acting, it's not its best, but I've seen worse.
Right.
And I hate to say it,
mm-hmm.
but we talked about Rachel True.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Rachel True.
Yeah.
She's not the greatest actress.
Yeah.
She's not.
I agree.
She is not the greatest actress. I was like, oh my God.
But is it, you know, it's kind of like all of them in a way. They kind of They kind of, I don't, it could be like, a director too.
They, yeah, it was like, cause I've seen her in other movies.
Yeah.
I've seen her in other movies, but I was like, ah, oh, man, she's not that good. I think I even talked about her in Half Bait.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, yeah, man, her acting is not that great.
Right.
You know, but, and here, she's not as bad as she was in Half Bait.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you said, like, the director kind of reined her in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was just kind of like, yeah, like, she's passable.
Right.
Here, Nev Campbell's just doing fucking Nev Campbell that you see her in all her, like Party of Five, Scream,
right.
you know, like she's just being Nev Campbell,
right?
You know, like that's just her brand.
Mm-hmm.
Fairuza Balk is like the best actress in here because she's just playing fucking crazy,
and she does kind of overact from time to time too.
She overacts,
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like even in American X, you know?
Oh yeah, American History X, yeah.
American History X, like
yeah.
She's an overactress.
Overactress, okay.
She's an overactor to me.
But yeah, man, that's all I got. I still enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed the movie as well. I wanted to talk about we already went over the fact like they had like. Yeah, we
covered a lot of stuff.
We covered a lot of shit. We really did.
We covered a lot of stuff here. But like, yeah, man.
We got it, yeah.
I'm just about to get my score real quick, you know, because right. like, I just like.
This is going to be the funniest shit.
What?
When I was a kid, I never knew why they called it The Craft. And I was just thinking because they call it The Craft, short for Witchcraft, right?
Right.
But when they went to the spirit, the store, like
oh yeah, the
spirit,
store,
the
yeah,
spiritual store,
yeah,
and she was talking, the main character Sarah was talking to the spiritualist, right? And she said, "You should use this book," and she gave her the book, and it called The Craft, and
right.
I was like, I couldn't believe
hey.
It. I was like,
hey,
so the movie's based off the book that the spiritualist have given her.
Hey man, I just noticed that shit the same time you did. Honestly, I didn't know she gave her a book called The Craft. I was like, oh, that's where they got
that.
It from.
So that's what they called it. Because I was like, okay, maybe it's short for witchcraft. Okay, I get it. Clever. Yeah, right? It was like, no, because the book was called The Craft. And they showed the book like a couple of times and how they got everything they needed to know from that book.
Yeah.
I was like, doy.
Okay. But yeah, let's wrap this shit up.
Okay.
Score.
I give it. Come on, man. It's iconic. Is it a cult classic, if you want to call it?
Mm-hmm.
It's every. It's all that goodness. I give it a 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Okay. And I picked this movie. I love the nostalgia of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with the music. It's very like this. Very like.
I totally forgot about the music.
It was very MTV. It was like an MTV generation horror film.
It was.
You know?
The soundtrack was amazing. And the editing that went with the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was breathtaking.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Especially that slow walkie.
Yeah.
And Recess.
Yes.
With that song.
That song, yeah.
Like you.
That was a letter.
Oh, that was perfect. We were walking in slow motion. They were like living their best lives in high school.
In high school, yeah. We ain't got much.
Is that much to do?
To do, but.
You know what I mean?
But anyway, yeah, like this movie was very fucking like nostalgic for me. You know, this is a couple of things that took me out, you know, mm-hmm. like the special effects.
Yeah.
As I got older, you know, I'm a fucking cinephile. I'm like
mm-hmm.
into cinema.
Right.
I've gotten into more like critically acclaimed movies as I've gone along. I'm very much a critic.
Yeah.
You know, so like that kind of took me out too with the acting
yes.
and all this stuff. It was kind of campy.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna shit on it, but I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5.
Yes.
4 out of 5 for the nostalgia.
Right.
Simply for the nostalgia. But that's what we thought about The Craft, everybody. It's Shauna's pick next week. Tell them what you're picking.
Oh, man, it was one of those times. All right, I'm going back.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid.
Copyright.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
All right, What about, oh yeah, is it, it's called Space Killer Clowns, what is it?
Oh yeah, Killer Clowns.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
We're doing Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Look,
next
I don't even
week.
Know the title, I'm all like, what is that, what's that shit called again? That's how old it is.
Yeah, well, we're doing Killer Clowns from Outer Space next week, so until next time, see you later. Peace.
Bye.